Blog Talk Radio.
Chapter 5, Consecration. God's promise is, ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. The whole heart must be yielded to God, or the change can never be wrought in us by which we are to be restored to his likeness. By nature, we are alienated from God. The Holy Spirit describes our condition in such words as these, dead in trespasses and sins. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint, no soundness in it. We are held fast in the snare of Satan, taken captive by him at his will. God desires to heal us, to set us free. But since this requires an entire transformation, a renewing of our whole nature, we must yield ourselves wholly to him. The warfare against self is the greatest battle that was ever fought. The yielding of self, surrendering all to the will of God, requires a struggle, but the soul must submit to God before it can be renewed in holiness. The government of God is not, as Satan would make it appear, founded upon a blind submission and unreasoning control. It appeals to the intellect and the conscience. Come now and let us reason together is the Creator's invitation to the beings he has made. God does not force the will of his creatures. He cannot accept an homage that is not willingly and intelligently given. A mere forced submission would prevent all real development of mind or character. It would make man a mere automaton. Such is not the purpose of the Creator. He desires that man, the crowning work of his creative power, shall reach the highest possible development. He sets before us the height of blessing to which he desires to bring us through his grace. He invites us to give ourselves to him that he may work his will in us. It remains for us to choose whether we will be set free from the bondage of sin to share the glorious liberty of the sons of God. In giving ourselves to God, we must necessarily give up all that would separate us from him. Hence the Savior says, "Whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." Whatever shall draw away the heart from God must be given up. Mammon is the idol of many. The love of money, the desire for wealth, is a golden chain that binds them to Satan. Reputation and worldly honor are worshipped by another class. The life of selfish ease and freedom from responsibility is the idol of others. But these slavish bands must be broken. We cannot be half the Lord's and half the world's. We are not God's children unless we are such entirely. There are those who profess to serve God while they rely upon their own efforts to obey his law, to form a right character and secure salvation. Their hearts are not moved by any deep sense of the love of Christ, but they seek to perform the duties of the Christian life as that which God requires of them in order to gain heaven. Such religion is worth nothing. When Christ dwells in the heart, the soul will be so filled with his love, with the joy of communion with him, that it will cleave to him, and in the contemplation of him, self will be forgotten. Love to Christ will be the spring of action. Those who feel the constraining love of God do not ask how little may be given to meet the requirements of God. They do not ask for the lowest standard, but aim at perfect conformity to the will of their Redeemer. With earnest desire, they yield all and manifest an interest proportionate to the value of the object which they seek. A profession of Christ without this deep love is mere talk, dry formality, and heavy drudgery. Do you feel that it is too great a sacrifice to yield all to Christ? Ask yourself the question, what has Christ given for me? The Son of God gave all, life and love and suffering, for our redemption. And can it be that we, the unworthy objects of so great love, will withhold our hearts from Him? Every moment of our lives we have been partakers of the blessings of His grace, and for this very reason we cannot fully realize the depths of ignorance and misery from which we have been saved. Can we look upon Him whom our sins have pierced, and yet be willing to do despot to all His love and sacrifice? In view of the infinite humiliation of the Lord of glory, shall we murmur because we can enter into life only through conflict and abasement? The inquiry of many a proud heart is, why need I go in penitence and humiliation before I can have the assurance of my acceptance with God? I point you to Christ. He was sinless, and more than this, He was the Prince of Heaven, but in man's behalf He became sin for the race. He was numbered with the transgressors, and He bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. But what do we give up when we give all? A sin-polluted heart for Jesus to purify, to cleanse by His own blood and save by His matchless love. And yet men think it hard to give up all. I am ashamed to hear it spoken of, ashamed to write it. God does not require us to give up anything that is for our best interest to retain. In all that He does, He has the well-being of His children in view. Would that all who have not chosen Christ might realize that He has something vastly better to offer them than they are seeking for themselves. Man is doing the greatest injury and injustice to his own soul when he thinks and acts contrary to the will of God. No real joy can be found in the path forbidden by Him who knows what is best and who plans for the good of His creatures. The path of transgression is a path of misery and destruction. It is a mistake to entertain the thought that God is pleased to see His children suffer. All heaven is interested in the happiness of man. Our Heavenly Father does not close the avenues of joy to any of His creatures. The divine requirements call upon us to shun those indulgences that would bring suffering and disappointment, that would close to us the door of happiness in heaven. The world's Redeemer accepts men as they are, with all their wants, imperfections, and weaknesses, and He will not only cleanse from sin and grant redemption through His blood, but will satisfy the heart longing of all who consent to wear His yoke, to bear His burden. It is His purpose to impart peace and rest to all who come to Him for the bread of life. He requires us to perform only those duties that will lead our steps to heights of bliss to which the disobedient can never attain. The true joyous life of the soul is to have Christ formed within the hope of glory. Many are inquiring, how am I to make the surrender of myself to God? You desire to give yourself to Him, but you are weak in moral power, in slavery to doubt, and controlled by the habits of your life of sin. Your promises and resolutions are like ropes of sand. You cannot control your thoughts, your impulses, your affections. The knowledge of your broken promises and forfeited pledges weakens your confidence in your own sincerity and causes you to feel that God cannot accept you. But you need not despair. What you need to understand is the true force of the will. This is the governing power in the nature of man, the power of decision or of choice. Everything depends on the right action of the will. The power of choice God has given to men, it is theirs to exercise. You cannot change your heart. You cannot of yourself give to God its affections. But you can choose to serve Him. You can give Him your will. He will then work in you to will and to do according to His good pleasure. Thus your whole nature will be brought under the control of the Spirit of Christ. Your affections will be centered upon Him. Your thoughts will be in harmony with Him. Desires for goodness and holiness are right as far as they go, but if you stop here, they will avail nothing. Many will be lost while hoping and desiring to be Christians. They do not come to the point of yielding the will to God. They do not now choose to be Christians. Through the right exercise of the will, an entire change may be made in your life. By yielding up your will to Christ, you ally yourself with the power that is above all principalities and powers. You will have strength from above to hold you steadfast, and thus, through constant surrender to God, you will be enabled to live the new life, even the life of faith.
I need. Come ye sinners, poor and needy, bruised and broken by the fall. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pardoning love for all. He is able, he is able, he is willing, doubt no more. He is able, he is able, he is willing, doubt no more.
Good evening, my brothers and sisters. This is Sister Leola, and I'm calling from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And I just want to thank the Lord for bringing us here on the prayer line once again, and thanking the Lord for everyone that joined us tonight. So let us begin with a word of prayer and invite the Holy Spirit here with us on this evening. Our Father, which art in heaven, Father, we come before you, Father, to thank you, Father, for the blessing of this day that we have seen, Father, a day that I'm able to host the line, I'm able to hear the brothers and sisters, to give you praise and to give you honor and glory. Father, to hear all the testimonies, the songs. Father, I am blessed, we are blessed, and we are to come here to thank you for these blessings. Now, Lord, as I begin to host the prayer line, Father, I'm asking you, Father, to send your Holy Spirit among us and bless us tonight, Father, that we may receive the blessing from the Holy Spirit as he began to speak to your servant. So, Father, we do thank you and we praise you. And now, Father, even the brothers and sisters, Lord, when you touch their heart to share, Father, let none be ashamed. Let none hold back and to give praise to God what he deserves. So, Father, I thank you so much tonight for this opportunity, for blessing me to host, Lord, because you did not promise me that I was going to live this hour, this minute. But, Lord, you say nothing is promised to us, but thank God for his love and his mercy that he has given to us. So we thank you for your son. We thank you for your only begotten son that you gave to a sinful world, and that we are now are living to just give him praise and thank you for your son. And for you, Father, for creating, the creator of all things. Lord, you blessed us with food on our table. Father, you blessed us with shelter. Lord, cause to drive to get to place. Oh, Father, how much, what more can we ask for, Father? Oh, we thank you. But, Lord, right now, Lord, the most of everything, we ask you for your word today, tonight, and that the word of God would be upon our heart, and that when we hear it, oh, we will shout to hallelujah and praise you for the blessing of your word. So thank you once again, Father, and bless all those that will come tonight and give their testimony or whatever they will share. Thank you, Father. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen, amen. And amen, brothers and sisters. And I see we have one that pressed one already. So we're going to give God praise. And I'm going to read from Desire of Ages. And the scripture, of course, the scripture is coming from Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. But praise God, I'm going to go ahead and open the line for my sister, because I don't know if she has something to do, or but she didn't press 1, and we can allow her to give her praise or thanks or song, whatever she has. So, amen, we open the line for 423-635. Your line is open. You can give your name and where you're calling from.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Good evening, Sister Leola and brothers and sisters. Thank you for opening up my line. Yes, I will be, should be at work in a few minutes, so I just wanted to get a chance to share, you know, ahead of time, and I want to share a song and a scripture reading. I just thank the Lord for his blessing, his love, and his peace that passeth all understanding. When you have the Lord, you will have peace and joy, even in the midst of storm. There's chaos. The world is, you know, coming to an end as we know it, and there's so much hurt, and all we can do is pray for others and intercede for them and put it in God's hand, and we will have peace and comfort. So I will attempt to sing, I Will Sing of Jesus' Love. I will sing, I will sing his love for me. I will sing of Jesus' love, sing of him who first loved me, for he left bright worlds above and died on Calvary. I will sing of Jesus' love, endless praise my heart shall give. He has done that I might live. I will sing his love to me. Oh, the depth of love divine, heaven and earth and earth and heaven can never know. How that sin as dark as mine can be made as white as snow. I will sing of Jesus' love, endless praise my heart shall give. He has done that I might live. I will sing his love to me. Nothing good for him I've done. How could he such love bestow? Lord, I owe. My heart is one. Help me now my love to show. I will sing of Jesus' love, endless praise my heart shall give. He has died that I might live. I will sing his love to me. Amen, and I will share Psalms. I'll do Numbers first. Yes, Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 through 26. It said, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. So may we continue to look unto the Lord for our blessing, for our peace, for the Lord to look upon us and bless us and shower us, not only with material things, but with spiritual blessing. And may he be gracious unto us, because we know when the Lord is gracious unto us, you know, we'll have peace and joy, we'll have love, we'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. And also Psalms chapter 25, it says, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed who transgress without a cause. Show me thy way, O Lord. Teach me thy path. Lead me in thy truth. And teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. And number 7, verse 7, remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgression according to thy mercy. Remember thou me for thy goodness' sake. So praise the Lord, and may he remember us for his sake and not according to our transgression and our sins, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But by his mercy, his grace, his love, we all can claim redemption through Jesus Christ who died for us. Thank you again, Sister Leola, for opening up my line. May the Lord continue to bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Carla, for the song. And I was listening to the song and how it touched my heart. He, how you say it? He loves, what, how you say the name of that song again?
Oh, yes. I will sing of Jesus' love. 183.
I will sing Jesus' love. I will sing of Jesus' love. And just as I was, just as I'm reading, to think about Jesus' love, you know, the love for his brother, sister, that song goes well with this reading I will read. And I'm praising God. You know, the Holy Spirit works in order. And I wanted to read this. And as you singing this song, listen to this. It say, is it not this the carpenter's son? This in Desire of Ages, and this is chapter 24. And it say, across the bright days of Christ's ministry in Galilee, one shadow lay. The people of Nazareth reject him. Is not this carpenter's son? They said, during his childhood and youth, Jesus had worshipped among his brethren in the synagogue of Nazareth. Since the opening of his ministry, he had been absent from them, but they had not been ignorant of what had befallen him. As he again appeared among them, their interest and expectation were excited to the highest pitch. He were the familiar form and face of those who he had known from infants. Here was his mother, his brother and sister, and all eyes was turned upon him as he entered the synagogue upon the Sabbath day. He took his place among the worshipers. In the regular service for the day, the elders read from the prophet and exhort the people still to hope from the coming one who would bring in a glorious reign and banish all oppression. He sought to encourage the hearers by rehearsing the evidence that the Messiah coming was near. His described the glory of his event. Keeping prominent mean royal, keeping royal or important, the thought that he would appear at the head of the armies to deliver Israel. It says, when a rabbi was present at the synagogue, he was expected to deliver the sermon, and any Israelite might give the reading from the prophet. Upon this Sabbath, Jesus was requested to take part in the service. He stood up to read, and there was delivered unto him a scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and the scripture which he read was one that was understood as referring to the Messiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He had sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recover the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Isaiah 61:1-2. And it said, and he closed the scroll, he closed the roll and gave it back to the attendant. And the eyes of all the synagogues were fastened upon him, and all bared him witness. and wonder at the words of grace which proceeded out of his mouth. I'm going to stop there. And sisters, and brothers, as we read this majestic, this power that the book says his mother, his brothers, his sisters, all of them was there from his infant, and they are in shock. They, you know, hear him do this, and they always knew how he worshiped. So, you know, when, and even with us today, you know, every time I read something, it gives me chills. I was listening to something today, and sister, I got chills on me. You know, it's not that it's something I'd never heard, because I read the Bible, I studied the Bible, but it gave me chills, and it sent those chills up my arms and my head and through me. And because the power of the Holy Spirit and what is it speaking about the Son of God and what he have done, you know, it's still from that day, from the beginning up until now, it chills me and many others, because the power of God's word and the Spirit, how it moves, it helps us to when we get an understanding. I would say this: if when we get that understanding, it chills our body. So as these people listen to his words, and when he speaks these words, as if, like he say, is he speaking about himself? But he knew, would you say, that these things was about him? But the people looking at him and looking at him and thinking, is he speaking about himself or who? But they see so much wisdom and knowledge coming from this young man, this youth mouth, that it's not where the rabbi was able to have that kind of wisdom. So, and what we read about him, it is all awesome. This is the God, this is God, and God, we do know that when this word speaks of his Son. So I just love reading this stuff, because it encouraged, it strengthened me, it helped me to stay focused. But I'm going to open the line for my brothers and sisters. As we have read this, you can comment or amen. We're going to open the next line, and we're asking you to press 1. Amen. Yes. We have 518. That's sister, my sister. And I'm press 1. Amen. Amen. We thank you, sisters and brothers, for coming to join. So we're going to open this line for 518-985. Oh, hold on. Give me. Every time I press.
Night,
amen.
My dear,
it's opening
beloved
now.
Brothers. Good night, my dear beloved brothers and sisters. This is Sister Powell. Good night, Sister Leola. Thank you for opening my line. I want to give God thanks and praise for life and for health, for strength, and for us to join in this form. I thank Sister Leola for that reading of Christ Jesus. You know, from he was a child, it shows us that, you know, he came here as a child, and we saw what he has done. And he never be a child who was fearful. He was being a child from young, you know, following the law of God. His character was of his father, and his father was there to guide and to lead him. So, you know, this reading is such a blessing to us, and, you know, that we can look upon his life, as he said, that his life is what we are supposed to represent. And a lot of people said we cannot represent God's life, Christ's life, because we are not God. But he told us, his father sent him here for an example so that we can follow his will. And even it is our instruction that we got is for us to spend our quality time
in our life, in our daily activity, our daily living, for us to study the life of Christ, even the last scene of his life on this earth. So we thank God for these prophecy and these wonderful promises that he has given unto us. And thank God for the song, Sister Carla, I Will Sing of Jesus' Love. That love that he has for us, he gave us. He sacrificed his son to sacrifice for us and to give us another chance that we can be here. So, you know, we are so grateful to have a father, you know, who come and in this world is a human being. He came, you know, as a human being to save us from sin, because all of us are sin, have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And my dear, when I listen to these reading, my dear sister, it's just a few of us, and we saw the goodness of Christ. You know, it brings joy in my heart to know, you know, that look what happened to us, the plan of salvation, right, that God have for us. You know, we saw if this world, my dear sister, you know, what happened with sin, when we remember and when we look and we saw what sin caused. And we were, should not be in this sinful world, because the Lord had ordained that we were supposed to be living in a world of poor. But what sin have done, my sisters, you know, we have to look and say, look, he had created the human being perfect in the image of him, just one person. And this week I was reading this, my dear sister, and to saw that he had created our first parents, one first, and he, that one Adam that he had created, he knew everything about the plan of salvation. He had God show him what, when he told him, he was there to name everything, and God have shown him, you know, he will do not do this. He knew, you know, from the beginning, and so what sin caused, right? And the very day that sin, they sin, with, after he got his wife, and the sin, we saw that everything fade, death came. The wages of sin is death. So I thank God, my sister here, I have a little reading here, but I must say that I thank God to send his son, so that his son come here, sacrifice, give his life for my sin, give his life for the whole of our sin, that we can have another chance to eternity. And that is a blessing, my dear sister, tonight when I heard these wonderful reading and also the song of Jesus' love. Right? God is so good. And this is something I was reading just a while ago, Luke 1, you know, and I read a few verses with the love that he has for us, you know, even though evil men, what they have done. And it is in Luke 1, 5. It said, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And that is Luke 1:15, verse 1 and 2 says, and the Pharisees and scribes murmur, saying, this man receives sinners and eateth with them. So you see, he came for sinners. He did not come for righteous men. He came to save sinners' life. But even though he was doing, as Sister Leola just read, that he went into the synagogue and he preached, and you know, and they were wondering, what kind of man that is this, the carpenter's son? They were wondering who he is, because he was a little child at this time when he took up his ministry. And he spoke this parable unto them, saying, and this is 53, Luke, what man of you having 100 sheep, and if he lost one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after, right? 90 and 90 have, and go after which was lost. Try to find that one, right? And 5 said, and when he have found it, you know, he laid it on his shoulder, rejoicing. So this is how the Lord loves his children. Despite their out there, there may be lost. This is a sheep on the parable. And this man have a whole flock of sheep, and one of them lost when he come to look and search. And he went and he searched for that one. And when he found that one, that one was lame. And he took up that one and put it around his shoulder and took that one home and dressed that one. You see? So Jesus is saying that, you know, the work that I'm going to stop because I want other people to share. Jesus is telling us that his sheep is out there. They're out there lost. They're under the bridge. They are at their home. They are out there on the street. They are in the nursing home. They are all are over, and God wants us, you know. He is asking, he's pleading to us, Christ, for us to go with that love and that compassion and that tearing heart that we can go out to present the word, especially in this time that we are living in. So, my dear, and that come with just the love of Christ. And God said, if you love him, we keep his commandment. So everything combined with the love of Christ, right, within us. So I just thank God that, you know, these readings and these prophecies that we have and with the word, because, you know, the word is powerful. You know, the word brings chill, as my dear sister said to you. So this is what God is expecting from all of us. So, my dear brothers and sisters, let us continue to study his word. Let us to do what God wants us to do. He is coming and coming soon. And I will just offer a little word of prayer. Kind and loving, righteous Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy wonderful name. Father, we are so grateful, Lord, to know what you have done for us by sending your only son in this world. Love sacrificed his life. His blood was shed because of love for us. Father, we thank you, Lord. Despite, Lord, of what took place, dear Lord, with our first parents, dear Lord, you still have that love that you were able, dear Father, to clothe them, Lord Jesus, and you are the one who clothes them with fig leaf. You clothe them with coat, a skin of coat, Lord, that their self, whole body could be covered. Lord, we thank you. We are asking you, Lord, each one of us on this line, dear. You know us. You know our name. You know every desire. You know what we are going through, dear Lord. We have our brothers and our sisters, Lord, who lost their loved ones, Lord. Sister Brenda, Sister Leola, their father lost their loved one, Brother Williams, dear Lord, this week. Their father, Sister Williams, dear Father, their Hudson family, the Elliott family. We ask you, Lord, to touch their heart. Lord, there are some with financial situation, dear Lord. We ask you, Lord, to provide for their many needs, Lord. There are some at this time, dear Father, with their pestilence and infirmities, Lord Jesus, with them. Lord, we know you are the great physician. You are the healer. You are the sympathizing Jesus. There are some with mental issue, dear Lord, on the street, under the bridge, Lord, and doing things that they should not be, Father. You are the healer who told us in your word that you can heal all our diseases, dear Father. There are some today who are troubled, dear Lord. We ask you, Father God, for allow them that they can feel your presence. Father, we present this group to you, dear Lord, today. This Advent group, Lord Jesus, you know each and every one in which, Lord, tonight I place them by list, Lord Jesus, Sister Leola, list, Lord, Sister Tamiko, list of names, Sister Considelli, Sister Barnaby, Brother Rich, Lord, Brother Ray, Brother Rick, Lord. I place the list of family members, community, and everyone, dear Father, myself, Sister Stephanie, dear Lord, the children. I place the young children. We are praying, dear Lord, for our young, precious children, Sister Brenda, grandchildren, those may be the smallest, but we are presenting these children to you. These are children that, Lord, you place in your lap. Look into their face, and you told your disciples, Lord Jesus, to continue to lift them up to you. Pray for them that they will have strength, Lord, to do your will. So we place them. And tonight, dear Lord, we lift up everyone. Sister Tamiko, Lord, her children and her family members, her friend. We lift up our dear beloved brother Eli. We want to give you thanks to Jamari, Javel, and Nahisma, and James Shamiko, his mother, dear Lord. We pray for them, our dear beloved brother Akin, who will be presenting the message. We present him, and also his mother, Brother Yudi, and his family, Brother Bernard, Brother Mozart, Lord. We present Sister, our dear beloved Sister Carla, who is on her way to work, Lord Jesus. We ask you for strengthen that young lady and allow your light to continue to shine upon her. And dear Father, for everyone else, Lord, Sister Katie and Sister Brenda, I lift up, Lord, Sister Nelda. I lift up, dear Father God, and all our brothers and sisters, you know them. Brother O'Neill, dear Father, you are God, yes, and you can do all things. So bless us and keep us tonight, mm-hmm, as we praise you, Lord. Allow to us to know that you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord,
yes,
of Lords. And you are in control. Despite of what is happening, you are in control. We pray for the country, landlord, the country living, dear Lord, each one of us who want to get out of the city to go into the country, dear Lord. We ask you to provide, to make way for each and every one of us, Lord Jesus. You own the cattle upon the hill. The silver and gold belongs to you, and we place it in your hand, Lord, because you can do all things, dear Father. 99 sheep, Lord, 100 sheep, and one was lost, and you went out, Lord, seeking to find them, that one, dear Lord. And when you found it, Lord Jesus, you wash that sheep off, and you care for that sheep, and you send and call your friend to rejoice, Lord Jesus. So, Lord, help us that we will go out to seek those lost souls out there, that we can bring them to you, dear Lord, so that they can find that joy, that peace, Lord, and live for you, Lord, that we can all share, Lord, with you for eternity when you come. Bless us and keep us tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Sister Leola, for opening my line. God bless.
Yes, yes, and thank you, Sister Power, especially for prayers. You know what the word says? Prayers. Prayers, brothers and sisters, is what keep us here, keep us going, because the Lord hear them prayers. And even he said, and when he couldn't find no right man, he saw that Noah was the right man, and he saved the whole world for one. He found the righteousness in Noah. So, and there had to be some prayers. So I just want to thank God for Sister Powell praying and consistent in prayers, and for everyone. She don't miss one. Sister Powell, I can't even remember. I get my wind go out when I try to say too many names. I have to get a lot of wind. So I'm just praising God to hear you mention all the names. And, you know, you still have wind. So I thank God for that. Praise the Lord, sisters and brothers. So now we have others on press one. So, sisters and brothers, as we hear our mother of the prayer line, pray for one another, we most certainly be lifting each other up. Amen. And we missed the songs. A lot of you missed the song Sister Carla sung. And I keep asking Sister Carla that name of that song. She told me, yeah, but I forget quick because I got other things on my mind. So I asked her to send it to me. So, yes, we're going to go to the next caller, and that's 985-232. We're opening your line, and you can give your name and where you're calling from. Amen.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. This is the Brenda calling from Baker, Louisiana, but I live in Houma, Louisiana. I'm in Baker this weekend. So I just want to thank the Lord for our mother, Sister Powell, praying for all of us. And Brother John just mentioned Sister Powell. Remember all the names, just like Sister Leola just said. And I said, yeah, she don't stumble. I said, and for me, I'm like Sister Leola, I couldn't remember the names or nothing either. I said, she just have a strong mind. Thank God be the glory for our mother. She can remember it all. I said, but praise God. But I would like to read a prayer. And thanks for the prayer for our cousin, because the one got shot with the 4 bullets to the face, because he's doing fine. Thank the Lord. I would like to read this prayer. The nation that sinned and continually pressed on in rebellion and iniquity, Lord, we know you will judge. Unless a nation amend its ways or a man amend his ways, judgment become intervenable. Let us not forget the source of all our nations and personal blessings. And let us not think we are guaranteed them. We trust in your mercy, O Lord, and seek to turn our hearts to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. We thank the Lord for these words, because these words stand strong, and they're stronger than the food we eat. And we know we're going to need them to stand on that great day. So we need to, first of all, we have to change our wicked ways and then seek God for help so that we can get rid of our iniquity and rebellion, so we can search the Lord so he can help us to get rid of the rest. And that way we can all be judged on one accord, because God is a good God, and we thank him. He's putting it before us so he can help us. We just have to act and pray and repent, and we just thank the Lord. And he know once you are continually praising him, blessing, asking him for blessings, and continue doing his work, and he know you about his father's business, you are sincere, he know you are looking to win a battle. So he know you're not just playing. So I just thank the Lord, and this is what we about, our father's business. So we thank God, and I just ask for prayers for Advent Light, our family on and off the prayer line, our missing family members, and we continue praying for one another, and continue praying for those that are under the bridges, nursing home, and wherever they may be. And the Lord knows what they stand in need of. So everyone have a great evening, and God bless. Hold on a minute.
Yeah, this is Brother John. in Baton Rouge, Louisiana right now. Like my wife said, but I'm from home Louisiana. We actually in Baker, Louisiana. But I just wanna say I know I read the Bible. I see we are spiritual beings passing through a worldly experience. And it's wonderful that we're living in time at this moment. And I just want to continue spending my time wisely by the things I do, the way I live my life. I'm spending my time in better ways than I used to, because I used to waste a lot of time doing negative things back then. And I just want to take my time day to day. And I always say that I'm not in a rush to get to 2 days later or next week and all that, and 2 weeks later. And I'm not keep dwelling on the past. I really concern more about the present. As I'm on the phone right now on the front line, it's all about the present and just taking care of day to day, not rushing it, just day to day. And just, like I say, just praise God and do the right thing. And when you do right, good things come back to you like a boomerang. When you do wrong, a lot of wrong things come back to you like a boomerang. So they got good karma and bad karma. That's what I've learned to believe. So it's everybody's choice how they want to live their life. And I just want to make the right choice so I can enjoy my life, continue to enjoy my life. So God bless. Amen.
Amen. Amen, amen. Thank you, Brother John and Sister Brenda. And as Sister Brenda continued to say, you know, she prayed for the people under the bridge. She prayed for the prayer line. You know, we want to thank you, Sister Brenda, for always lifting up the prayer line. And we want to thank Brother John for always bringing us some good encouraging, messages. And I tell you, that's all. That's all this prayer line is all about. You get on and you can just share what you feel in your heart. You want to encourage, you want to lift up somebody in prayer, that's all you have to do. It's nothing hard. So we thank you once again, Brother John and Sister Brenda, for coming on and sharing. We thank all our brothers and sisters because you know what? You took out of your busy time to come on the prayer line and to share and to worship with us. So God is so good. So we ask that you press 1 and your line will be open. So thank you all, sisters and brothers, for being patient. And we're going to go to the next caller. So we open the line for the next caller is 272-770. Your line is open, and you can give us your name and where you're calling from. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for opening my line, Sister Leola. God bless you. My name is Tymiko from Pennsylvania, and I love everybody on the line, and I just want to give the Lord praise and thanks and honor and adoration, because he is worthy to be praised. He takes such good care of me and my children and my grandchildren. I'm just so happy that the Lord is such a loving God and that he loves us all with an everlasting love. So with that being said, I just wanted to sing a little song for you and read a Bible verse, if I may. God bless you, Sister Leola. Amen. We have this hope that burns within our hearts, hope in the coming of the Lord. We have this faith that Christ alone imparts, faith in the promise of his word. We believe the time is here when the nations far and near shall awake and shout and sing, Alleluia, Christ is King. We have this hope that burns within our hearts, hope in the coming of the Lord. We are united in Jesus Christ our Lord. We are united in wide, Christ will come to claim his bride. All the universe will sing, hallelujah, Christ is King. We have this hope, this faith in God's great love. We are united in Christ's love. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
I just want to read, if I may, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. And it brings out here, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And verse 8 brings out, he who doesn't know God, for God is love. And this is the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is the love, not that we loved God, but that God first loved us. And he sent his Son to be a propitiation of our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love being perfect in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of the Holy Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Amen. Amen. I just wanted to share that with you, and always remembering in 1 Peter 4:8, that above all things have intense love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. So we just want to show love at all times. So all my precious brothers and sisters on the line, I love you very much. And I would like to lift all of my brothers and sisters up on this line tonight. My dear sister, and you too, my sister, my dear sister Leola, I would like to lift up you and your family in prayer, Sister Powell's family in prayer. Sister Carla's family in prayer, all of our precious sisters on this line, I would like to lift them all up in prayer, and a small prayer for myself and my family as well, because I love them and I want them to be saved, you know. So I'm just praying for everyone, the homeless, the poor, the sick, and the lame. Also praying for Sister Brenda and Brother John. I love them very much as well, and I keep them in prayer. So thank you for opening my line, Sister Leola. God bless you always. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from the other. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, sister, for the song. Thank you for the scripture. And even thank you for the prayers you lift up each and every one. And as Sister Carla sung this song, I just wanted to rephrase, just say, I will sing of Jesus' love. Endless praise my heart shall give. He has died that I might live. I will sing the love to me. So I just wanted to share that back with you, Sister Tamika, because God's love is endless. So thank you once again, and amen. And we're going to go to the next caller, okay? And that is 857-505. Your line is open.
Amen. Hello, Sister Miola. Hello, brothers and sisters on the prayer line. Hello, Sister Power, Sister Tamiko. I love you all on the prayer line. May God bless you all on the prayer line. My name is Brother Eli. I like to pray. I like to thank God for his love, for his mercy, because Sister Miola, God is good. He's worthy to be praised. God will take care of everything. He's a mighty God. He's the King of Kings. King. He is the Lord of Lords. Sister Miola, I have a prayer request. I have a new name in prayer at the moment. Please lift up my mom in prayer, please. My mom needs a lot of prayer, Sister Miola. And please, Sister Miola, lift up Brother Angel in prayer. His name is Brother Angel. His name is A-N-G-E-L, lift up Brother Angel in prayer, because Brother Angel was talking about me on Friday, Sister Miola, at City Square. He said that he do not like me. He just talk about me behind my back. And Sister Miola, he called me a pain, and I do not like that word. He called me a pain, Sister Miola. His name is Angel, call me a pain, Sister Miola. And Sister Miola, please tell brothers and sisters on this line to encourage me at the moment, because sometimes I'm feeling sad, Sister Miola. And Sister Power, I'm feeling sad a little bit, Sister Power, but Sister Power, I don't know, can you lift me up in prayer, Sister Power, at the moment, because I'm feeling sad a little bit. But Sister Power, I am a faithful servant, Sister Power. I am a kind person, Sister Power. I have a loving heart, Sister Power. But Sister Power, I can leave it to the Lord. I can leave it in God's hands, Sister Power. Just like you say before, move on. Leave it to the Lord. Don't worry about what people say about me, Sister Power. You was right, my dear sister. Thank you for encouraging me, Sister Power. Thank you. Lift me up in prayer. Angel's making me down at the moment. So please lift up Angel in prayer, because he needs a lot of prayer. Please pray for Angel. Okay. Pray for Angel. Thank you.
Amen. Let us just lift Brother Eli up in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, Lord, Father, we come before you once again. Lord, we know that you know Brother Eli's heart. And we know that you are there with him. Lord, he tried to speak to his friends. He tried to speak to people about you, Jesus. But, Jesus, sometimes people don't want to hear. But, Father, help Brother Eli right now, Lord, to when he give them a word, Father, let him leave it there. Leave the word there and not say anything to the people, but move forward to leave them alone or not talk to them anymore, but leave it there once he done give them the word to study about Jesus or to pray for them. He has to leave it there, Father. So help him to understand that, Father, that he will not be hurt. He won't be so hurt from the words they tell him. So, Lord, I'm asking that you give him wisdom, give him an understanding, Father, to help him to know that when Jesus go to tell someone, he said, just leave it with them. And he said, don't worry about the words that they say, because people will do things. They will say things because they allow Satan to use them. So, Father, we just pray for him and lifting him up before you to help him and to give him strength. So, Father, thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. But, Brother Eli, I'm going to just read you a song. It says, oh, the best friend to have is Jesus. And if you put all your trust in them and when you go to one of your friends and tell them about Jesus and share a word with them, Jesus said, leave it, you know, and just leave them. Don't go back to them. So you can't keep going back to them trying to share, because you done gave the word to them once. And if you keep going back, you're going to kind of agitate them. So, and this is your friend right here. He said, oh, the best friend to have is Jesus. When the cares of life upon you rolls, he will heal the wounded heart. He will strengthen and grace impart. Oh, the best friend to have is Jesus. The best friend to have is Jesus. This is a song. the best friend to have is Jesus. It repeats. And it says he will help you when you fall. He will hear you when you call. The best friend to have is Jesus. I'm not going to go through all of them because I need to open the next line. So by God's grace, we ask in Jesus to help you and to hear your call when you cry. Amen? So we're going to open the line. So I just want to say this. So Brother Eli, be patient and let the Lord help you. Amen? So we're going to open the next line, brothers and sisters, and we open the line for 518-744. Your line is open. Amen?
Thank you, Sister Leola. Yes, this is Brother Rick from Port Ann, New York, and I'm just listening in and being blessed by the prayers and by the songs, and I'm just listening to Brother Eli, and I just love Brother Eli's tender heart. He has a heart of love for all people, and you know what? That heart comes from God and only from him, so we can see that Brother Eli is allowing God to do the work in his heart, and we know that he is trying to witness to his friends, and Brother Eli, your friends are going to thank you someday in heaven for witnessing to them. And on this earth, we are going to have trials, we are going to have troubles, but God hears, and when we are sad, when we are down, we need to take that to Jesus. And I love the song that Sister Tamiko is saying, we have this hope. And you know what? Without that hope, brothers and sisters, none of us would be on this prayer line. This prayer line wouldn't be. There'd be no reason for it. And I'm just so thankful for that hope. And tonight I'm just lifting up Ashley, my daughter. She had a car accident on Friday morning, I believe it was. And it's either Thursday morning or Friday morning. And she's coming home from work after working a double shift, and she thinks she fell asleep. She ran off the road, and the car slid, and she did not get hurt badly. She had to go to the hospital, and she had some x-rays done, and she's okay. She's back at home, but she doesn't have a car now until for a bit until she can get a rental car. She's hoping to get that maybe tomorrow, and she also is looking for another job because when they found out that she had an accident on the way home from work, and after working a double shift, they cut all of her hours. They did not want to give her any more hours because they're afraid of her suing them for overworking her. So I don't know what the whole deal is there, but I just want to lift up Ashley. She's done so well, and I'm hoping to get down and see her tomorrow and encourage her, and also encourage her to come back to church. And she's not been to church in quite some time, or a couple of years, and I'm just praying that she will say yes, and we can get her not. I want Christ to do the work in her heart. I can't do the work in her heart, and that's another thing we have to say to Brother Eli. God, his Holy Spirit is the one that does the convicting of people's hearts when they are doing something that they shouldn't, or if they're being mean, whatever. God will convict them, but we can't. We can talk all we want, and we're not going to convict anyone of anything. It is God's Holy Spirit that does the convicting. So I want God's Holy Spirit to convict Ashley that she is a sinner and she needs a Savior, and he is the Savior. He is going to be her friend. He is going to be her guide and her all in all. He will be everything to her as he can be to us. And, I'm just grateful for those words. We have this hope that burns within our hearts, and that hope is burning in my heart right now. I was sick all last week and still fighting a bit of a cold here. I don't know if it was what it was. I haven't had a cold in 3.5 years, and all of a sudden I came down with one last Monday, and it just hung on and hung on. I finally got a hold of Brother Yudi, and he gave me a special concoction to make up, which I did. I went Friday to Walmart and picked up all the ingredients and made it up, and I've been using that. And then my daughter came over yesterday with some oregano oil, and I did a breathing treatment last night, and that really cleaned out the airways, and I'm feeling much improved. I'm going to do another breathing treatment here in just a little while before I go to bed. I still feel congestion, and you know, God is so good. He gives us natural things, good things that we can put into our bodies, and if we know what they are, we can use those things, and then we can give God the glory for this instead of modern medicine or things that, you know, oftentimes people get well and then they thank the doctor and the hospital and the nurses, and God has no glory in any of that. They take the glory of God's glory and they give it to humans, and I don't want to do that. I want to give the glory to God, so I'm trying to treat everything naturally, and not everybody believes in that, but I do. So I praise the Lord that He has given me good friends to counsel me on what to do. And now that I know what to do, because I've gone through it, I can counsel others too, which is another blessing. We can, once we learn these things, we can help our friends out when they have problems also with these things. So we need to be learning, ever learning, all the time. We're never going to stop learning, even when we go to heaven. We will be learning throughout eternity. And right now, we just need to pay attention to what's going on around us so that we can stay healthy and we can do God's work, because Jesus is coming soon, brothers and sisters. I know it with all my heart. Things are just getting so bad on this earth. And you know, if we just stay in our own little bubble and we don't look out, we don't visit anybody and see anything, it kind of looks kind of normal. But the minute you go out into the population, you're out and see the people, you can see the pain and misery and the things that are going on in people's lives, and they're just crying out for a Savior. They don't even know that they're crying out for a Savior, but we know that, and we have that hope. So let's bring that hope to all that we need, brothers and sisters. It is vital that we do that for them, because when that day comes, when Jesus comes, we want them to be ready also, along with ourselves, so that we can see them up on the sea of glass. They can see their Savior and their Lord too, as well as us. So I just want to say a quick prayer, sister. And that's just my brother.
Brother Rick, you go ahead and, like you said, a quick prayer. Brother Akeem is on. Offer the prayer, you know, just go ahead and pray. Lift Brother Akeem up also, so we can go on and let him. Because it's, amen.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes. Oh, Father God, we just come before you again, lifting up our petitions and our praises and our thanks to you, Lord. Lord, we live in such a busy world. We live in such a mixed-up, crazy world, Lord. Things are going on all around us, Lord. It seems like the world has gone absolutely mad. And, Lord, we know that you are behind the scenes. You are holding things up. You are lifting us up, Lord. You are keeping us from harm. You're keeping us on the narrow path, Lord. Father, we are weak, but we're depending upon you because you are strong. Lord, we have no goodness in us, so we're depending on the goodness of Jesus living in us through the power of your Holy Spirit. We want that new heart, Lord, that heart of flesh, that heart that loves all. I think of Brother Eli, lifting up Brother Angel and his mom and all of his friends, but Brother Angel especially, because Brother Angel's heart is hurting, and he's striking out at Brother Eli. Lord, we just do lift up Brother Eli. Brother Eli has a tender heart of love for you, Lord. So please comfort him in his time of distress. And we just want to just pray praise you that you have worked through him so wonderfully and he gives the message to all that he needs. Please help him to continue that way, even when people reject him, Lord. Help him not to take that personally, but to know that he is doing the work for you, and if they are rejecting his word about you, they're rejecting you, not him. So, Lord, he is the brother you are. Lord, we lift up all of our brothers and sisters on the prayer line. We heard Sister Paul, we heard Sister Carla, we heard Sister Tamika, Brother John, Sister Brenda, Lord, Sister Leola, who's hosting tonight, Lord. We just want to lift up each one of them. We just saw Brother Udy on the, at the store. He's still at the store open tonight, Lord, and we're having many people there doing a great business today, Lord, for you. And Lord, please see Brother Udy, Sister Melissa, and their family, all those who are working with them. Lord, just want to lift up all of our listeners. I think it's Sister Katie and her grandchildren and her children, Lord. And we lift up all of the brothers and sisters. Lord, I don't remember all the names. My mind goes blank when I start thinking at times, but you know who they are. Lord, Lord, we're just grateful that Brother Akeem has come on, Lord. He'll be bringing us a word here shortly, Lord. We just pray for Brother Akeem. We lift him up to you, O Lord, that his heart would be one with yours, O Lord, that your spirit would be guiding him, would be filling him, would be blessing him, would be carrying him, Lord, and speaking through him, O Lord. With his mom, his dad, his family, O Lord. Just lift up each one of them, Lord. And his, as he is pastoring now his congregation, Lord, we just pray that you would touch their hearts and they would all work together as a team to reach souls to you, O Lord. Father, we want to get the word out because we know that Jesus is coming soon. We need to get that word out, Lord. Those people will be ready. They'll be willing to put aside the things that they have always done and look to you, Lord, for their righteousness, for their salvation, Lord. Please guide us. Forgive our sins, O Father. We have not arrived, Lord. We have not overcome sin, Lord, but we are trusting in your Spirit to guide us, Lord, to keep us from yielding to temptation, to free us from the desire to sin, Lord. That's what we are looking for. Ultimately, is to be free from that desire. Lord, it hasn't happened yet. Lord, we are trusting in you to do that for us. Guide us and keep us, Lord. We thank you for blessing us, Lord. I want to lift up Ashley to you. Just pray for her and her salvation, her children, her situation, Lord, that she would get a call quickly so she can get back to work. That you would bless her and her efforts. And Lord, that she would see her need for you, Lord, because you are the only one that can choose her and change her situation, Lord. Be with each one of us, each one of our family members, Lord, our children, our grandchildren, our parents, all of our family members, Lord, we just listen to you. Thank you for loving us and guiding us and keeping us, Father God. We pray for this prayer line. It's been a blessing to be on this prayer line for so long, Lord, almost 9 years. And we pray that it continue on until you come, O Lord. May each one of us be faithful, Lord. Put your spirit in us so that we will not draw back, Lord. We will keep going forward. Praise you. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. And thank you, Brother Rick, for lifting us up in prayer. And may God be with you and your family also. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we do have our speaker on, Brother Akeem. He will bring us a message, and I will ask Brother Akeem already to press 1. So 301-640, your line is open. Amen. You're Brother Akeem. Amen.
Amen.
You're on.
Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. And glad to be on with each and every one of you this evening. And thank you for the prayer, Brother Rick, and also for each and every one of you that have been praying for me. And just praise God for the prayer line. This evening, we're going to be continuing in our study in Matthew chapter 10, before we go into the aspect of the rural work. And so last week, one of the things that we covered was the aspect of the work in the cities once again, and we saw it in Scripture. We saw it from Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 through 15. But now we're going to look at the results, as I promised, of the giving of that message. And friends, this is so amazing. We're going to look at the results. Now, the thing is, this is as a result of giving the work in its fullness. And we covered the sixfold work to be done in the city. So it's when this sixfold work is done in the city, and then we're going to find out there's a sixfold work to be done in the country areas, in the rural areas of our nation and also of the world. As these things are done, a systematic demonstration is given that polarizes the world. And the result is that persecution comes about as a result of the doing of this work. So the systematic revelation happens, and the result is what we're going to look at today. So verse 16, so Jesus, we see the city work in chapter 10, verses 1 through 15. I'm going to say that one more, another time. So it's, we have the aspect of personal labor, house-to-house work, city mission / public evangelism, our hygienic restaurants, our church with schools, and also our health food stores. All of these are to be done in the city. They are not to be done in a sense that it's scatterbrained, because many times what I'm realizing is that even at times when people know to do this work, as they set about doing it, they never connect themselves with a church in the area. They never, and if they're planning to do it with a church in the area, they do it in a completely different city from that church. But what God is trying to show us is that according to what we had read in Welfare Ministry, page 112, paragraph 2, that the work that was being done in San Francisco, California, and also in Oakland, California, the work that was being done there in that city or in those cities were connected. So in other words, they had all of this aspect of the city work being done connected to a specific city. So each city should have that work going on. So it's not that you just start off in some random place. No, if a church is endeavoring to do this and the people of the church are endeavoring to do it in Oakland, California, they can't go somewhere apart from that and try to connect it to that work in Oakland, right? If they're starting off a hygienic center and they're trying to support a church, if, let's say, for example, somebody's trying to start up a hygienic restaurant in Harlem, New York, or if they're at a church in Harlem, New York, and they say, hey, I want to support my church by a hygienic restaurant, you're not going to go over in Manhattan and start that hygienic center. You start it in Harlem, New York. And so it's connected. All of these things will then be connected. Hygienic restaurants in Harlem, New York. Health food stores in Harlem, New York. Church with a school in Harlem, New York. All of these are connected, that as people come in and they receive the message of health through our hygienic restaurants or through our health food stores, then it opens, that health message opens the way for the third angel's message, that people can then ultimately be brought to the church, baptized, equipped, and put into that cycle, that sixfold cycle to work as well. So it keeps going in a cycle. People come in, they get sent out to work in these places where this work is being done. So it has to be connected in the same locality. If a person is deciding with a church to connect with a church in Manhattan, and they want to start up a health food store connected to the church in Manhattan, they can't go over in the Bronx and start up a store, right? So as you're thinking about bringing people to the church and you're thinking about doing this mission, connect with the church. And then as you connect with the church, you have your hygienic restaurant, but then you're bringing people into that church through the hygienic restaurant. You're introducing them to the message, and as they are open, let me say it that way, as the person becomes open to spiritual things and they may become open to a church, now you have a church in Manhattan that you're connected with and you're working with in order to bring the people there. So it can't be scatterbrained. It has to be very systematic. And so I was connecting with someone on that this past week. Because many times we want to just start it off in another city than the very city we're trying to work. But friends, when Ellen White talked about the Beehive in San Francisco, all of that sixfold ministry was happening in San Francisco to work that area and to win souls. And so as we look at this work this evening now, I'll say a word of prayer and then we'll get in to the results of this work. Father in heaven, illuminate our minds, draw us ever closer to you, give us wisdom and understanding. Father, help us to stand aright in this time. Not just to stand, it's not only standing that is important, but how we stand is also important, Lord. Give us wisdom, I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Give me wisdom in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So, we're in Matthew chapter 10, right? And so as we're looking at this, verses 1 through 15 covers the sixfold city work. In Jesus' healing ministry and healing power that he gave to his disciples, we see the aspect of the health work, right? The aspect of the hygienic restaurants, the aspect of the health food stores, right? Those systems are set up for the purpose of healing. And that's the power that Jesus gave to his disciples. It was to bring healing and cleansing to the physical aspects of men so that they can introduce to them the spiritual food that they needed. That is manifested now. The healing work of Christ is manifested, at least as it concerns our city work, in our hygienic restaurants and also in our health food stores, connected with treatment rooms and different things of that sort that were happening in San Francisco and also happening in Oakland, California. Now, what is the result of this work? As we go forth and we do the sixfold city work, what do you think will be the result? Jesus actually tells his disciples what will be the result of them doing this work in their time. And in that result, we see what will be the result in our day. Verses 16 says, after they have done their witnessing, Jesus says, this will be the result. Behold, and this is why he says this, he says, behold, verse 16, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore, and this is why I say it's not only about standing, it's how we stand that matters. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And friends, this is very important. It's very important, especially today where you have so many people, especially among Adventists, who love to threaten the government, who love to see themselves as Luthers and Elijahs, and they lack wisdom in how they go about addressing the issues of their day. And friends, this is why Jesus says, when I send you out, I'm not sending you out as wolves to meet wolves. I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. It says, beware, but beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And this is why we have to be wise. I referenced a statement last week, but I did not read from it. But today I'll read from it. This is found in Testimonies for the Church, Volume 6, page 49, or Chapter 49. And the chapter actually, you know what it's entitled? Our Attitude Toward the Civil Authorities. Powerful stuff. All right? This is what she states here. We should not work in a manner that will mark us out as seeming to advocate treason. We should weed out from our writings and utterances every expression that, taken by itself, could be so misrepresented as to make it appear antagonistic to law and order. Everything should be carefully considered, lest we place ourselves on record as encouraging disloyalty to our country and its laws. We are not required to defy authorities. There will come a time when, because of our advocacy of Bible truth, we shall be treated as traitors, for sure. But let not this time be hasted by unadvised movements that stir up animosity and strife. And it's powerful because she was so balanced, right? So she says, don't do this, but yet it's powerful. In the testimonies, we also read that Ellen White actually said that the Civil War came about because the North was not forefront in addressing the issue of slavery and standing against it. We also have statements from Ellen White calling for civil disobedience as it concerns the Fugitive Slave Act. So there was a time, as it concerns racial issues, when the church stood up, along with our pioneers writing in our publications. But friends, it's powerful, because apart from this, she then says, we must also be careful. Friends, I say this because in our time, in today, in this time, we see a lot of people doing that today over certain issues. And this is why I'm saying this. It says, there will come a time when, because of our advocacy of Bible truth, we shall be treated as traitors, but let not this time be hastened by unadvised movements that stir up animosity and strife. She then continues, the time will come when unguarded expressions of a denunciatory character that have been carelessly spoken or written by our brethren will be used by our enemies to condemn us. These will not be used merely to condemn those who made the statements, but check this out, but will be charged upon the whole body of Adventists. See, it's not just about you. It's not just about me. When we make crazy movements, people begin to make assumptions about the church. Our accusers will say that on such and such a day, special, and it's powerful, she says that at this time, they didn't have videos, they didn't have Facebook, they didn't have social media, they didn't have these records, these kind of records of people saying stuff on their accounts or videos. They didn't have those things back then. Friends, it's powerful because it's almost like she's talking today. She says, our accusers will say that on such and such a day, one of our responsible men said thus and so against the administration of the laws of this government. Many will be astonished to see how many things have been cherished and remembered that will give point to the arguments of our adversaries. Many will be surprised to hear their own words strained into a meaning that they did not intend them to have. What does she say? Then let our workers be careful to speak guardedly at all times under all circumstances. Let all beware, check this out, lest by reckless expressions they bring on a time of trouble before the great crisis, which is to try men's souls. Wow, friends. You have many doing that today. In light of being extreme, the result is, what happens? Friends, there will come a day when they will have to meet that. And it's not that they meet it. It's not that they meet it before the judgment bar of God. Before they even meet it before the judgment bar of God, they will have to meet those statements before councils on earth. People on earth, statesmen and leaders, will have the records of them, will have the posts, will have the things that show and the recordings that showing them saying what they're saying. Even though they may not have meant it, because they spoke so recklessly, it will come back to haunt them. Hence, Jesus told his disciples, I send you out as sheep among wolves. Be wise. Here it is. Let me read it for you guys. Let me read it again for myself. Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And then interestingly enough, verse 17, he says, but beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. So in other words, Jesus is saying, be wise so that when that time comes, when they bring you before statesmen, and they flog you and they try you, it won't be because of something that you did. It won't be because of some reckless statement that you and I made or some attack we made on the government. Friends, we have to be careful, especially in this time. I see it with the issues that are facing America today, especially within the past year. You have many Adventists railing at our government officials. Friends, those things will come back to haunt us. She says, the less we make direct charges against authorities and powers, the greater work we shall be able to accomplish, both in America and in foreign countries. Foreign nations will follow the example of the United States. Though she leads out, yet the same crisis will come upon our people in all parts of the world. So when we speak unguardedly, what does that do? It hinders the work. When we speak guardedly, we will be able to do a greater work. And this is why it's so powerful, because Jesus represented this in his own life. Notice, Jesus was never brought, and I mentioned this last week, I think, he was never brought before the civil authorities. He was never brought before the government of his day, Rome, until apostate religious leaders brought him to Rome. And that's how it's going to be at the end as well. It is that apostate Christianity and its leaders will see a problem with the Adventist movement and what they're doing. So it starts off with apostate Protestantism having an issue. And just like apostate religious leaders had an issue in Christ's time and they brought him before the state, even when they brought him before the government, friends, Pilate was wondering why they brought him, because he saw no fault in Christ. It took the trickery and the pressure of the priests against his conscience to act in a certain way that was opposite what he should have done. So, friends, in our day, it is when we see apostate Protestantism, which another way of saying that in our current United States atmosphere is evangelical Christianity, which many apparently Adventists are beginning to side with now in their prophetic understandings. Friends, we must be careful, because the very group that we're beginning to align ourselves with is the very group that will stand against us in the end. They will stand against us, and they will bring us before the courts. This is how this thing will go down. History will be repeated. So Jesus shows us here what's coming. It's interesting as it comes. So he's showing us the consequences. The result will be, because of you doing this work in a correct way, you will be brought before and delivered up before councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. But notice, this is as a result of their wisdom, not as a result of them doing something that was off, right? It says, verse 18, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake. Why? For a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak. For it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. And friends, we know the connecting dot between Adventism and the councils or the civil authorities. How are Adventists to be brought before the civil authorities at the end? Friends, it is because of Protestantism. Protestantism in its revived mode, apostate Protestantism, is in its revived apostasy, is the one that will lead the way in bringing us before these councils, just as it was with Christ. So persecution, then, is the result of doing this work. Many are looking for persecution today. But friends, the end-time persecution that Christ prophesies is yet to come. It comes, liberty of conscience. The main thing that it talks about in there is, friends, it talks about the Sunday legislation, the attempt of apostate Christianity to unite church and state. That is the liberty of conscience issue we need to be looking at. For some reason, many, I would say, respectfully, are being distracted today. We're not seeing Protestantism pushing the way in order to unite with the civil authority. Rather, what we're seeing today is apostate Protestantism being in full vehemence against the civil authorities. And so this is why this is not the liberty. Many people, the liberty of conscience issue they're fighting today, this is not the liberty of conscience issue that the Bible and the Spirit of Prophecy points out. And this is why I believe Christ said, the first thing he said before he laid out the signs of the times, before he laid it out, you know what he said? This is what he said. Let's go in Matthew. We'll come back to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 24. I want to show you guys this. Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to verse 4. So before he lays out the signs of the times in verses 5 through 8, This is he before he says the signs of the times, he lays out the atmosphere that people will be in as these signs are being fulfilled. What does he say? Verse 4, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. The reason that this is so powerful is because it shows you the atmosphere of the last days. Jesus says, if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. That's how deep the deception is. That if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. And it's not because the Bible and the spirit of prophecy were not simple in laying out what the events are. But it's because, friends, many times because of men's secret political agenda, it leads them against the principles that are founded in the Word of God. It leads them against the simplicity the Word of God lays out. So men think the time of trouble is here, when the prophetic events concerning the little and great time of trouble have not yet even happened. And I'm hearing Adventists even saying this. Have we been reading the great controversy? Friends, I say to you even now, as I speak to you, there are many more things I have to read. But one thing I do know is when I read the chapters, Liberty of Conscience, The Final Warning, The Time of Trouble, there are certain things that we are told to look for that have not yet taken place, that many people are not aware of, and they're beginning to adopt the prophetic narrative of the evangelical church. So they're seeing the government as the end time threat, not realizing that it is the only time the government becomes the end time threat is when Protestantism, evangelical Christianity, takes over the government. This is when we are told. So now we go back to Matthew chapter 10. And as we read now in verse 16, it says, behold, I send you forth as sheep among wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak. For it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father to child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endures to the end shall be saved. And it's interesting because in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus tells us the thing that we shall endure in. He says that the world will be in a state of iniquity, lawlessness shall abound, and the love of many shall wax cold, but he that endures to the end. So what is Jesus therefore saying? If lawlessness is what men start failing to endure in, then when Jesus says he that endures to the end, what is he talking about? What is he saying that they will endure in? They'll endure in the very thing that the world has stopped enduring it. And what is iniquity? It is sin. It is lawlessness. So while the people of the world and the church, the fallen church, begin to come away from the law of God to the point that they are lawless, the faithful will endure in obedience to God's commandments. So the issue is over the commandments of God. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye to another. For verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. And especially in our time, right? Because we're living in the time of the investigative judgment. So there is a time coming where the cases will be reviewed. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in the light. That speak in light. And what ye hear in the air, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall to the ground without your father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I am come not to send peace, but a sword. And what does he mean by this? We are told in inspired writings in Desire of Ages, she says the gospel does bring peace. But she says the reason that Jesus says, I came not to bring peace but a sword, is because he knows that the gospel is in opposition to the carnal hearts of men and women and children. So for them to hear a message that calls them away from self, it's either that they will surrender to it or that they will stand in opposition to it. Hence he says in verse 5, for I am come to set a man at variance against his father. Why is he saying that? Because he knows, not that he's coming saying, hey, I want to set you up against your parents. No, he's saying that in light of verse 34. I know that the gospel may reach your heart and you will surrender the carnal heart to me. But I know that as you surrender, someone in your family, as they see the revelation of your surrender, they can either choose to say, I'm going to surrender too, or they'll say, I hate you. They'll start hating their own family member and become antagonistic toward them. So that's why Jesus says, for I'm come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, because he knows that while one person in a family may accept the message and allow it to transform them, that same transformation can stir the anger of a family member who chooses not to surrender to the gospel. Hence, in one household, two people who once cared a lot about one another will be at variance with each other. The person who receives the effect of the gospel, they'll still love. They'll still be caring. They will still desire their family member and love them. But because now they have also chosen Christ above their family member, the person who hasn't received Christ will be antagonistic because their heart is not regenerated. Hence the variance, hence the difference between the two now. And the man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loses his life for my sake will find it. He that receiveth me, he that receiveth you, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. So what we see here is in Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 to 15, we see the work in the city. But in Matthew chapter 10, verses 15 to 42, we see the results of the city work. And as we will look at next time, the work in the country. The result is when this work is properly done, it will be persecution, friends. Persecution not because we have done things foolishly, but persecution because, friends, men's hearts will respond differently, especially, as we know, the ingredient of apostate Protestantism will be involved. Because think about it, friends, I'm experiencing it to a degree even at my church. As I've been preaching the messages, I've come into the church, and they made me the lay pastor there, the volunteer lay pastor. The senior pastor, he said, I'm giving you this church, you take care of it. And as I've been working with that church, there is a lady who has been coming. And she is from the Baptist church. She started coming before I even came because her son was baptized into the Seventh-day Adventist movement. And he surrendered his heart to Jesus Christ. And so she has been there. And now as I have come and I've been, the Lord convicted me. He said, ask her if she wants to have Bible studies. She's here every Sabbath. She's going to church at her Sunday church on Sunday. And on the day before, she's coming to the church where I'm pastoring or lay pastoring every Saturday. So she's saying, you know what? I'm hearing things at this Seventh-day Adventist church that are blowing my mind, things that I never heard before, that are really touching my heart. But I have friends at the Sunday church. And so she's been hearing the message, and then the Lord convicted me, hey, this is a person ripe for hearing the truth. She's coming. She's hearing you every Sabbath. She appreciates the messages, even as it calls out certain churches and it shows the doctrines that Sunday sacredness is not true. It's not in Scripture. Friends, as she heard that, she came up to me after the sermon and she says, what do I do? And I said, keep coming. I knew at that moment it wasn't the moment to say, hey, leave your church, come, start coming to the Seventh-day Adventist church, disconnect yourself from the Sunday church. No, friends. As I read more and more about Jesus, I realize it has to be done in steps. And so I said to her, hey, keep coming. Keep coming. And then, like a week after, I asked her, I said, hey, would you like to have Bible studies? You, your son, and myself? Let's all three of us have Bible studies. I knew her son would be there. So then, I started studying with her. Six studies in now, since last Wednesday. And as we've been studying, friends, her mind has been blown away as she's been seeing these truths from Scripture. We've been going over the historical studies from Amazing Facts. And as we've been going over it, you know what this woman did? We have a pantry on Monday at the church where I'm at. And we are serving the community. And this lady went and told her friends in the Baptist church that she goes to. The Seventh-day Adventist church, they're not just preaching, but they're helping people on Mondays. They have a pantry where they're ministering to the needs of people in the community. And they stop by and they get food for the month. And so her friend said, whoa, we would love to do something like that. So friends, three of her friends came with her, and they have joined in helping her in the pantry. And then one of her friends said, Ben, you know what? This is amazing. I would love to learn more about this church. And so then she invited her friend to the Bible studies we've been having on Wednesdays. And this friend has joined us for the past three Bible studies. Out of the past six Bible studies, she has now joined us for the last three. And this lady has been bringing her friends to our church for different meetings we've been having. She hasn't brought them yet for the church service, but she's trying to ease them in by bringing them for other meetings that we have throughout the week, whether it be on Sundays or throughout the week. And so as she's been bringing them now, I've been looking at that and I said, wow, this is very interesting. Now, friends, take that situation and multiply it by a million, where each member of the church, as they study with an individual or they seek in love and kindness, piece by piece, step by step, not all at once, they seek to bring the truth to an individual in the love of Jesus. Do you know what will happen? These people so attracted to the kindness and love and the truth of the movement, they will start bringing people through friendship evangelism to our churches. And as this happens, friends, and these people begin to make their decision to concerning the truth that they've been hearing. They will begin to leave the ranks of Babylon. And as they leave the ranks of the Babylonian churches, do you think these religious leaders in evangelicalism, apostate Protestantism will sit back and say, that's great? No, friends. Their anger will be stirred. This is what happened in Jesus' ministry, right? Jesus was preaching, and as the people heard the truth of God's word over tradition, the authority of the religious leaders began to wane. Rather than them saying, hey, Jesus, we want to work with you, inspiration tells us that if they had worked, if they had surrendered, he would have used them. But because they would not surrender, he bypassed them and went to fishermen and men who were publicans and tax collectors, and he chose them. In the same way at the end of time, friends, as the influence of God's people grows as they experience conversion, many will come out of these churches stirring up the wrath and anger of the fallen churches. And this is when they will seek to unite with the civil power. Because this work that we cover tonight, along with reaching out to the needs of the people through that work, is being done. But as of yet, it has not yet exploded. You see, there are people who are doing this in different parts of the earth, in different parts of the United States. Praise God for what Brother Yudi and Brother Bernard and Brother O'Neill and others and Sister Melissa are doing. And others are doing it in the United States. But what God wants, and in certain parts of the world, but what God is looking for is for this thing to not be done just in places here and there, but for it to explode in every city. And once that happens, then, friends, we will see the results of Matthew 10, verses 15 to 42. Until then, friends, I fear we will perish in the wilderness. Friends, may it not be so. May we be the final generation as a result of taking up this work. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Father in heaven, I pray, O Lord, that I and that we will take up this work, that it will spread like wildfire, like fire in dry rubble, that it will spread. Father, the people will come to know of the messages for this time, not merely on an intellectual level, but because they would have seen it demonstrated in the love and care of Seventh-day Adventist. For too long, Lord, we have been known as merely a people who understand the Bible intellectually and its truths. But Lord, while that is important, may we become known as a people who not only are a people of the book, but a people who live out the very life of the Christ that is found in that book. And it was a life of compassion and service. Do this with us, Lord. For more than Jesus even taught, he healed. Help us to do this work. Help us to be medical missionaries. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Oh, praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. And we know this to be truth, because as we are witnessing to those brothers and sisters that in these churches, they go back to their pastor and ask these pastors this information. And, you know, they're telling them where they're getting it from. So we know that time is coming, because when you witness to some people today, we hear how upset. I done had many tell me, well, my Sabbath is Sunday. Hey, what else I got to say? I just leave them. So I just want to thank you, Brother Akeem, for bringing such a message to us. Brothers and sisters, what Brother Akeem just brought to us about the household, in the household, one going to be against another. Oh, brothers and sisters, we got to pray that we ourselves don't do that to one another. We got to pray. We got to be in prayer. We got to stay close to Christ and look and feed on his word. I mean, we got to be our faithful members. So we want to thank Brother Akeem for bringing us a message, and always for coming to deliver us such powerful message. We thank you once again, Brother Akeem, for coming to Advent Light Ministry, for sharing this with us, and And by God's grace, you pastor in a church now? Are you just a lay minister?
Yes, so my friend brought me on when I came back in 2020. He brought me to preach at his church a few times, and then he was the senior pastor of those churches, and then he said, you know what, brother, I think we can work well together. And so he said, I can't be at two churches at once, so I need help. So he said, if you want to get that pastoral experience and learn how to work with the people, would you like to come on and under me be the leading pastor of that church? And so as he's over working his other church, this is also his church that I'm at, but he has chosen to leave it in my hands to guide the people and to build it. And so I'm thankful for the opportunity.
Amen. God is willing. God is willing, and God is using you, brother. So we just keep lifting you up on this prayer line, and may God work out other things for you. And as we are your sisters and brothers on here, we support you, and we believe that what you bring to us, we hear the power. So we thank you. So we're going to ask Sister Powell just to lift your ministry up in prayer. Let me open Sister Powell line, or hold on, brothers and sisters. We're going to lift Brother Akeem and his ministry up in prayer. Sister Powell, you on?
Yes, Sister Leola.
Let us all, Sister Powell, we're going to pray, brothers and sisters, but let us all be in agreement to lift Brother Akeem and his ministry up. And by God's grace, however we can support. Amen? So, Sister Powell, you can go ahead in prayer.
All right. Okay, bright, dear beloved brothers and sisters, let us pray. We have listened to the message, and this is really a warning to each one of us that our dear beloved brother Akeem had presented to us this evening, and the work that, you know, we all have to do, both in the community where we are living, so that we can finish the work. And we want to thank God this evening, you know, for our dear beloved brother Akeem James. And, you know, when I heard the question was asked a while ago with two sister Leola asking Brother Akeem if he has a church, and the reply, my heart really come with joy, because you know what? We have to all say we Advent Light had watched our dear beloved brother while he was in college, you know, doing his ministry. Mm-hmm. And when we also hear Brother Akeem presenting our various meeting, he was a part of us. So, you know, it brings joy in my heart to know that, you know, he is conducting, you know, there's the message in a church, and you know what, people are flocking, you know, to listen to the truth. So I'm so grateful. So brothers and sisters, we all have to come to an agreement, Lord, to the Lord tonight, to commit our young pastor to the Lord, so that the Lord will keep and guide him. So let us pray. Most and righteous Father, which art in heaven, we just come to you tonight to give you thanks and praises for the blessings that you have poured out upon your sons and your daughter, the good news of salvation, where you told us, dear Lord, you are delighted to know that your children is in the truth, settled in the truth. We want to thank you for your truth that you have given unto your servant, dear Lord, that you have allowed him, dear God, to be presenting your message for this time, in which we all have got this message to go out to the dying world. So this evening, dear Lord, we ask you, dear God, to let your son know that he is not alone. You are there on his side. You are there with him to guide him, to lead him, to protect him, to provide for him, Lord, so
yes,
that
Father.
This message that you have given unto him, he will preach it, cry aloud, share it wherever he goes to bring souls to you. Pour out your blessings upon your manservant. Give him, Lord, the desire, Lord, to study, to search, and to share, and to allow him to know, dear Lord, that this little light that you have given unto him, that it will continue to shine, especially, Lord, amongst the young people, his peers, Lord. And you know what? What the young people need at this time is the truth. So we just want to thank
you,
bless and keep and guide and protect him. And we thank you for the resources, Lord, that you have given unto us. And we hear, dear Lord, that we will be able to support, Lord, and lift him up in prayer minutely and hourly, that we will pray, dear Lord, because we know it's not easy in this time, dear Father. And all these messages and sermon that he has to prepare daily, has to prepare his life to you, dear Lord, that you can lead him and you can guide him, dear Lord, to present your truth. Thank you for hearing. Bless and keep each one of us, Lord, and allow us to look forward to you in the most holy sanctuary, that when we picture you there, dear Lord, and the enemy creeping, we can say, get behind thee, Satan, and look to you, because you are the art and finisher of our faith. Bless us and keep us tonight, we pray. Filled us with your sweet Holy Spirit. Allow us to get a good night's sleep, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Powell, for prayer. And we thank the brothers and sisters also for coming on and staying on listening to this, because we do know the power in the Word of God is that it pierces our heart, and this pierce our heart, and it meditate upon this, and it keep us in the right way. So we thank God for this message. We thank God for Brother Akeem, and we thank God for his ministry. So God be with you, my brother. Keep you and bless your family also. Amen. God be with you all, and good night, my brothers and sisters. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Create.